you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
No! Tell me it's almost over! I don't know how much more I can take. I think I got to the end of Netflix. Does that mean I won? Does this mean I have to start reading books again? No, not books. That's like work. Okay, I just had to get that out of my system. I'm okay. It's gonna be okay. So I have a leak in my kitchen sink and half the floor in my house has to be replaced. So what? It's fine. It'll get fixed. See? I'm doing it again. I gotta vent to somebody. Is anybody there? Okay, this time for real. Thanks for joining me on You May Have Seen, Reaching Out and Revisiting. You people are the best. Today we check in with Pat Dorch and hear how he's doing. You may have seen Pat on 24 and MacGyver, among others. Then we'll shift gears and hear from Ozark's lovable loser, Sam Dermody. That's right, Kevin Johnson is back with us. And we'll finish up with my amazing friend from Broadway and the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's Kate Weatherhead. Here we go.
There you go.
And all the cool kids have red and black headphones, apparently.
That's right. That's right. And glasses. And facial scruff.
A lot of a lot of stuff they didn't have before.
What's going on, man?
I don't know. What's up with you?
You don't know. Oh, you know, I'm just going batshit fucking crazy.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, my wife literally about 20 minutes ago goes, Is it Tuesday? I was like, I had to think.
Right?
Like, oh, yeah.
It's Flurps Day.
I know, right? It's ridiculous. I'm doing so much teaching now online.
Awesome.
That I just threw a backdrop up where I sit.
Because it looks like shit behind that?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Couldn't get that past you.
It's a disaster.
I could either clean it up or I could throw a sheet up. Let me think about that for about 3 seconds.
Which is about how long it took me to hang the sheet up. Well, first of all, that's awesome that you're still teaching so much. Talk to me about that. How are you managing to keep that going?
Oh, we just moved. I made it sound real simple. Oh, yeah, we just moved our classes online and onto Zoom, and I'm now a Zoom guru.
Of course
and
you are.
We dropped our rates some because everybody's gonna, you know, suffer a little bit at least,
right.
You know.
Right.
And we didn't want everybody to just have to bail, so
so we
lowered our rates to everybody and put it online, and I told them, look, I'm sitting around in my underwear, so if you need anything during the week at all, just holler at me. We'll do a Zoom session. So I'm on the computer constantly, but I kind of, you know, it beats having nothing to do, and I feel like I'm still in it, you know?
That's huge, I think, because the majority of us are not still in it. I can't tell you the last time I looked at a script with dialogue on it. I mean, you know, I'm a little nervous for when it starts to come back again. I'm going to be like, what the hell is this?
I know. I feel like I've always got to be doing something or I'm taking a step backwards.
Yeah.
So, there's some open calls that I think are out there just so that we don't go too crazy.
Okay.
That some casting directors have put out there, and they're just like, hey, send us this.
Really?
And I'm like, okay. Yeah,
it's
like, it's an excuse to get in front of a camera and do something. Yeah, I'll do that. So I've had at least one a week so far of those, which has been
that's awesome.
Great. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah.
Who are you?
I'm just making stuff up at this point.
But you know you got all the ins and outs. You've got the info. How's life in quarantine? How's it going, man?
If I'm being 100% honest, I'm really getting sick of this. We don't go out a lot, you know, or anything like that, but I do actually leave my house at times, and I miss leaving my house. But we've got all three kids here. We all get along. Nobody's tried to kill each other yet. And I think I'm like everybody else. I'm stir crazy. I ran some air conditioning. I ran some Cat 6 to hardwire the internet in case something goes wrong with the Wi-Fi, because I'm on the computer all the time. And so that's my new fear, is that's going to go down and then I really will go nuts.
I think you just made up most of those words, by the way.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yep. And no one's dead.
Nobody's dead. It's shocking.
Is there a whole new appreciation for family life? Or do you dread it
more? That's not the word I would use.
Does everybody loathe it more than ever?
There's a whole new tolerance for family life.
Yeah. I was doing, I felt like I was doing pretty well until, I guess, yeah, Sunday and Monday. Yes, the last 2 days. Because we're in what, week five now? Is this week five that we're in?
Is that what it is? Yeah. It could be week 27. I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. Time is not, it is just not, I have no concept of it at this point. So.
And the even more frustrating part is that I know in the grand scheme of things, we're in pretty damn good shape, all things considered, in comparison to a lot of other people. So, you know, it's that struggle of feeling justified in my frustration, yet at the same time wanting to slap myself and be like, dude, it could be way fucking worse, you big baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, if the worst out of all this is that I'm irritated because I can't go work out in the morning at the Y, then I think that's not even worth whining about.
Sure. Is it a glass of vodka that you're drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning?
It is. It is. And I put nothing in it. It's just straight. I didn't even bother chilling it at this point.
What difference does it make? Yeah, you got to try the home workout, man. If you've got room for it, it'll change your life.
Oh, I do it. I just...
That was very convincing, first of all. I do it.
I eat constantly. Apparently, I'm a bored eater, and when I start to get bored, I go grab food. But what I found about the whole exercise thing that I didn't I'm starting to realize some things. I'm having some aha moments. Is the reason I do well at the gym is I think the other people at the gym push me.
Well, Pat, I got to tell you first, really quick, your face is now frozen, and it's not the most flattering picture.
Oh, I see it. That's good. That's good. How do we mix this up?
I don't know.
That's never going
to... Oh, there you go. There we go.
Okay, it's moving. It's moving, and it's still not that flattering.
All righty. All righty.
We could have total anarchy, and yes, no.
So,
Matt,
talk to me about how the Zoom teaching in regards to what you're used to in the classroom. How's the transition from three-dimensional to two?
Well, it's actually, you know, the online teaching has been surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And one of the really great things about it, I think, is that I'm learning it with my students. In other words, I mean, I've had Skype callbacks and stuff before, and honestly, I hated them. I felt, where do I look? What do I do? What do I do with my hands?
Right. You know?
The whole Zoom thing, I mean, I feel great about it now, and my students really like the classes, and
awesome.
We feel like coming out of this, since so many people are online right now, we feel like it's going to be a tool that casting directors are using a lot for callbacks and stuff. So I think that owning those skills now will pay off. At least that's what we keep telling ourselves.
That absolutely makes sense. Well, just for everybody listening, we are reaching out and revisiting, catching up with our good friend Pat Dorch, who's joining us again during this ridiculous and crazy time. No one's going to see you.
Thank God.
So yeah, we're talking to Pat. He's interrupting me as I'm introducing him, which is fine. Par for the course. And then you ran Limbo streaming for a couple of days. I apologize. I didn't get to catch it. I would still love to catch it.
Yeah.
So how did that go?
That was awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Like 1,500 people watched it across a few days. It was nuts. And I got tons of messages and emails, and everybody seemed to love it. Got a couple people that have reached out as far as helping me pitch it. And
nice.
So that was unexpected. And yeah, it was just, you know, it's out in festivals right now. So since all of those are postponed or canceled or gone online,
yes.
you know,
yes.
I just wanted to keep things moving. So I decided I'd throw it out there, and a lot of people, you know, took advantage of it. And we've all binge-watched Ozark 3 seasons, 5 times. you were great, by the way.
Thank you. That was awesome to see. I appreciate that. Did you have anything going on before all hell broke loose? Did you have anything exciting that was in the hopper for you?
Fortunately, I just wrapped on a project called Cultanica, which was a blast.
Oh, yeah. You were posting stuff about that.
Yeah. And that was kind of funny how that all came around. That's actually a student film.
Really?
Down at SCAD. Yeah.
But isn't that the way it is now?
Apparently.
It's like professional tennis. You start when you're a teenager. You break in to the professional ranks when you're a teenager.
It's nuts. We shot in Milledgeville, Georgia, in an abandoned insane asylum. And it was a night shoot. So we're in this abandoned insane asylum from 5 PM till 5:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh. And,
you know, we've got some still photos with orbs floating around us and stuff.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy pants. I'm pinned for a couple projects if production ever gets back up again like it's supposed to.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, future's so bright, I gotta wear shades, right? So
that's great. That's great. That is great. Have you been doing the virtual cocktail
sure.
happy hour every week? Every
virtual,
week, no.
Not virtual alone.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder to not open the bar before 5 o'clock.
Because what is 5 o'clock, Brian?
Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
Thursday is my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. 32?
I'm gonna be this many.
Are you really? Wow.
Can you believe that shit?
I can't, actually. You look good. I mean, you know.
Which is surprising. Because normally
shocking.
You look like hell.
I mean, I was thinking how horrible you looked, and now I'm like, oh
yeah.
You don't look so bad after all.
I thought he was 24.
That's right.
He does not look good for 24.
That guy looks like hell. What has he been through?
Can you virtually slap me?
Slap. Slappage.
I didn't get a birthday party.
And she had planned one, too. She had planned this huge surprise. People were coming from out of town and all this stuff, and then she had to tell me.
She was going
to
get you a pony.
Yes! 2 ponies.
Oh.
1 for me and 1 for the pony that I was riding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, think of how disappointed those ponies are. Groceries are just, I mean, we're spending $1 million a day on groceries, I think, is what our budget is now. It's
really
crazy.
Because the kids.
Feeding, they eat a lot of food. A lot of food.
Yeah.
Between that and my growing beer consumption, it's really getting expensive here in the house. Yeah, that's the thing that's, you know, I worry about for my fellow actors that don't have something to keep them going through this, both monetarily and mentally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, when all this came down and I started to look at everything and I started to think about my actor friends, you were truly one of the first ones that I thought of. I was like, I wonder how Pat's doing. Because I remember when you and I sat down for your initial interview, you were like, sometimes we don't know. So I was like, oh, God, Pat's got 3 kids. I wonder how the hell he's doing.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that you've been able to make it work so far.
So far, so good.
Yeah,
I mean, hopefully it won't last that much longer, but, you know, as far as getting together for classes, that could be another couple months for all we know. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons I wear the mask and the gloves and the whole bit when I go to the grocery store. It's not, I just figure I could just be moving it around for all I know.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. Well, man, I appreciate your time and catching up a little bit and filling me in.
Do something to make yourself feel good every day. Got to stay positive, and at the end of all this, we all will have gone through it together, and just know that you have a place, and that you're worthy of being here.
Well, look, man, stay healthy, stay out of trouble. Hopefully we will see each other again soon, and I look forward to hearing about all the things that you got coming up.
All right,
Pat.
We'll catch back.
Be good, man. This has been You May Have Seen with Pat Dortch. Thanks so much for listening.
Pat Dortch cracks me up. I don't know if that came through or not, but yeah, we find it a little challenging to be serious when we're around each other. Not a bad idea to find someone to laugh with these days. So let's head to Atlanta and check in with Ozark's Kevin Johnson. Kevin was living with the virus for a little while because his roommate, for those of you who have been paying attention, is none other than our good friend Haley Lovett. So, life for Kevin got interesting.
What's up, Slim? I don't know.
Can you tell that I'm slimmed down, or is that just like a something that you say?
I just decided to say that. I mean, last time we talked, you were CrossFitting it like a mofo. So I can only imagine how svelte and sexy you must be.
I kept my shirt on for a podcast.
Well, at least one of us did. You know,
I'm on unemployment right now. I don't know about you, but I signed up for that. So
yeah, I mean, see, again, that's a legitimate concern. It's not like the things that we're experiencing or going through aren't genuine or real. They are, but in the grand scheme of things, obviously, they could be far, far, far worse. Real quick, we're catching up with Kevin Johnson. We are reaching out and revisiting with our good friend Kevin Johnson from Ozark, Sam Dermody from Ozark. And that's the crazy thing to think about. Like, you're on one of the hottest shows, or if not the hottest show right now on television, and here we are in the middle of this crazy pandemic, and you're having to file for fucking unemployment. You know, I'm sure people will be listening once again and going like, what the hell? How is that possible? But it's just the reality of the business again, you know?
It is. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, like, I was a little lucky, the job that I was on, before everything went crazy, I got my first principal check pretty, you know, recent after all the stuff went down.
Right.
That's helped me out a little bit. But yeah,
no joke.
Still, you know, no money. I'm doing the cameos. Have you done the cameo app thing before?
No, I don't know what that is.
I've been busy doing those because people have been watching Ozark, so I've been getting those like crazy. So
are
that's
you serious?
Been keeping me busy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What is the cameo app?
It's called Cameo app, and you just you put your profile on there. Haley's on there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you can set your booking price, and yeah, it's cool. Like, you get to stay in touch with the fans, and they send you, like, hey, would love a birthday shout-out for so-and-so, or would love a pep talk for so-and-so. I mean, I've had, like, all kinds of interesting shout-outs that they've wanted, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome, though. That's great.
Keeps me busy.
Good for you.
Going insane around here.
No joke. So, obviously, were you still... I know the last time we talked, which was a little over a year ago now, you were Ubering still at the time. Now, did that continue? Were you still doing that in between up until all hell broke loose?
Yeah. I was getting up like super early and Ubering, and then coming home, taking a nap, going to CrossFit, and Ubering in the evening.
Now, how long did it take you to finally decide or realize, oh shit, this is not good for me. I need to stop. Like, how long into the whole coronavirus thing did you finally go, wait a second, maybe I should back off of the Ubering?
When, like, the NBA shut down and the NCAA tournament shut down, I was like, all right, I'm going to take that as a cue that it's time to shut down. So I haven't Ubered in, like, over a month, probably.
Is it a little, you know... life imitates art in the respect that is going through Atlanta kind of like going through The Walking Dead right now? Is it a little post-apocalyptic?
Yeah, I've seen pictures of people that post on like Instagram and...
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, isn't that a scene from The Walking Dead? Nope, that's just Atlanta right now.
That's got to be pretty crazy. I haven't been into Uptown Charlotte at all. Not that I spend too much time there as it is, but obviously it's a lot smaller than... how expansive Atlanta is. So I can only imagine how crazy, especially with all that highway traffic that you guys normally have. And just, it's got to be like, honestly, in that respect, I'd want to go and drive out on the highway just so I, for one time in my life, I could drive down the interstates through Atlanta and not have anybody fucking slowing me down.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'll go to Chick-fil-A on Saturday for my cheap meal.
There you go.
That way my car isn't dying in the garage.
And are you scrubbing the bag down and everything before you eat it from Chick-fil-A?
No.
Or are you just throwing caution to the wind?
I haven't had anything like, are they saying to scrub down the bags and stuff?
There are people who are just like, no, man, anytime you bring in an outside something, substance from anywhere, wash your groceries, clean your vegetables, spray down the bags, all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
I haven't been doing any of that.
Well, apparently you're like Teflon because your roommate, as far as we know now, had the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And
you think she did. Yeah. And I'm sure she did. Yeah.
And you, scot-free, living under the same roof.
I guess I'm asymptomatic, so I probably had it.
How was that for you when Haley started to feel crappy and thought that, oh my God, I think I might have this? What did that do for you being in the same house with her and being like, holy crap, now what?
I was okay. I didn't get really excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I hadn't had any symptoms, and I still haven't had any symptoms. So, I guess I'm just one of those lucky ones. Knock on wood that I didn't, get those crazy symptoms.
You guys didn't have to change your routine much or anything like that, or really alter how you were interacting throughout the house, or
no? I mean, because I think we pretty much said, well, if you have it, we've already been interacting with each other. It's not gonna matter
right
now.
Right.
So it's not like, I mean, we don't like high five each other like that, but but I mean, we're already pretty close to each other.
Right.
Sitting on the couch watching a movie or something. It's,
right. Right.
Yeah. It is what it is.
And if there is a season four, I love that. Now we're just talking about Ozark. Forget the coronavirus and that people are you sick. Like what they've set up for you to where your story could go.
Yeah.
It's got to be pretty exciting because they've got you teed up. They've got you teed up.
I hope so. I mean, I'm not the writer, so,
No,
you just got to.
Right.
I think they'll have something good in store for me. I mean, the writers are awesome, so.
Yeah.
And Sam's got to. He's got to have an ending at some. He's got to. He has to have an ending.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever that means. Whether that means 4, 5, 6, whatever down the line.
Yeah. So you had some stuff going on prior to the. So in that job is in limbo right now. Like it wasn't completed.
Yeah, we got the first. I got a week into it, and then I was supposed to come back the next week at the end of the week, and obviously everything got shut down. So we got to finish that up when things start back up.
Right. So that's something for you to look forward to. You've got some work already kind of at the starting gate ready to go once we all get the all clear and we can get back to it. So
yeah.
That's got to be encouraging. So, yeah. So we were talking before we get it. Yes. So what are you doing to fill the time besides making cameos?
Yeah. I do the CrossFit in the morning. That keeps me... keeps me busy for like an hour.
And you're able to do that from home?
Yeah, they gave us a modified workout. And I have like the free weights. So that's an hour of my day.
Man.
5 minutes to an hour.
Now, are you not concerned about Sam coming back to Ozark and whipping everybody's ass?
I definitely look better in season 3 than I did in season 1 and 2. I had a buddy who I take CrossFit class with. He sent me a picture of my scene with my first scene with Laura where she comes to the strip club and
right,
and he was like, dude, you look great. I was like, yeah, man, cross, like I have traps, it's ridiculous, it's weird.
Well, man, it seems like you're just kind of going with the flow with all this.
Yeah, it's, I feel like the days go by kind of fast. It's weird. I mean
yeah,
it's amazing. Like I'll get in my bed to go to sleep and I'll be like, all right, there goes another day. And then I get up and it's like, oh, here's another day.
I don't want to blow it off for my own mental well-being. I think it's like, man, it's okay for you to be concerned and worry and be afraid and to think about other people. Because what else can you do? You got to try and remain hopeful. You got to try and remain optimistic and hope that there truly is an end in sight. And I've talked about this with other people. I mean, you have to wonder what it's going to be like when the productions do open back up. It's like, because now then all of a sudden you're going to have 100 people all hanging out together. And is there going to be some kind of screening process, testing process that everyone's going to have to go through?
Yeah.
Or
And how are they going to do, like, crowd scenes? I mean, because you can't just get rid of all that stuff. That's part of movies and TV shows.
Right.
Or shaking hands. I mean, those things happen in a scene.
Yes.
Hugging, like.
Yes. And more so. Even more. Yeah.
You can't just. Yeah. It's not like getting rid of cigarettes. That's a different. That's like. This is an extreme. This is an extreme situation if we started doing that. You would change the way a movie is and TV shows are. Like, it would just be weird.
We need our gratuitous sex in movies and TV.
Of course, yes.
We still need it. Yeah. You can't just fix it in post.
Have them naked. And then just
a lot of cutaways. Yeah. A lot of cutaways. A lot of reaction shots. Oh, my gosh.
My dad is still going to work. I wish he would work from home, but he said they're being safe about it. Like, there's not a lot of people on his floor. He still works there. And, I wish he would work from home. He used to work at home when I was a kid sometimes, and he's a bigger dude. And if he got the virus, I think he would be one of those, what they say, like, vulnerable people. I would hate for him to be a statistic. And it's not that I have any, I can only tell him so much and he's going to do what he wants to do. So the first audition has been, on tape anyway. So that's kind of been a thing.
Right.
But you think the callback will be like Skype now?
That's what people are saying.
Save on gas, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't have to go.
Yeah.
You don't have to drive all the way there in the rain or whatever.
You're not going through withdrawals or anything?
Not yet.
All right.
I would have thought maybe like a couple weeks in, I would have been like, man, just ugh. I mean, I guess I've always kind of been an introvert anyways. I mean, I don't go out a ton, like go to bars and things like that, but not having that option right now kind of sucks to not, not be able to do it if I wanted to.
I appreciate you, coming in and checking in and reconnecting and catching me up on what's been going on. And I'm glad you're healthy and well.
Yeah,
it's good to see your face.
I like the scruff.
I only shave when it gets too itchy or if I'm going to be on camera, honestly. Yeah, otherwise I'm scruffy just like you. It's like, who do I have to impress? No one. So yeah, stay safe and thanks for sitting down and chatting with me for a little bit. This has been Kevin Johnson reaching out and revisiting with us on You May Have Seen. Thanks so much.
Let's take a short break with this message from the CDC and the Queen City Podcast Network. You're listening to You May Have Seen, proud member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. There are so many great podcasts on the network, and they're adding new ones all the time, showcasing great stories by great people and shining a spotlight on the Queen City. You can find them all at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Shoutouts. Today's shout-out is for the Actors Fund. We're going to talk a little more about it in the last segment. Founded in 1882, can you believe that? The Actors Fund serves all professionals, and not just actors, in film, theater, television, music, opera, radio, and dance, through programs that address our community's unique and essential needs. Employment in any division of the performing arts and entertainment industry is unpredictable. Work is erratic, security is fleeting, and health insurance is often just a dream. For all these reasons and many more, the Actors Fund is an indispensable and deeply significant part of the entire entertainment community. So please go check out actorsfund.org and see what they're doing. And even better, if you can make a contribution to help the folks working in the entertainment industry during this time, it would be much appreciated. That's actorsfund.org. Which leads me into our last segment with the wonderful, amazing, thoughtful, and always entertaining Kate Weatherhead.
Well, let me try this. I don't know why they wanted to be so difficult.
Well,
they know we're in a time of crisis?
Right. These are third world problems we're dealing with right now. We can't get Skype to work.
Skype. Jesus.
How are you? Hi.
Hi.
Look at you.
You were so good on Ozark. That was like a good part.
It was a nice role. It was a really nice role. Yes, I was certainly very grateful for that opportunity.
I mean, well, I'm just a huge fan of that show, so I was like, oh, I get to be on that show. Oh, my God.
with our good friend Laura Linney.
Oh, yeah. Right, but
you worked with her too.
No, I was just on her show, but she wasn't in the scene. Yeah, so you're right. We've both been in shows starring Laura Linney, but I didn't get to breathe the same air. I know you're supposed to be asking me questions, but I want to ask you some more. Okay. Also that scene, the big part, I mean, that must have taken a while.
That had
a lot of moving parts to it.
It was a long day. How are you?
I'm fine.
It is so good to see
all
you.
Oh, it's good to see you too.
Yes.
All things considered, fine. Yeah.
For those of you who can't see Kate right now, she's just gesticulating and doing things with her hands. We're catching up with Kate Weatherhead. We are reaching out and revisiting with our good friend Kate Weatherhead. And you're up in New York somewhere? Where are you in New York?
We're in Putnam Valley, New York. It's an hour north of the city.
You're in your safe house.
We're safe. Yeah, we're in our safe house. Yes. And it's very nice. I feel just waves of gratitude on the daily, on the hour. Yes, with a person and a dog with whom I enjoy escaping. Yeah. The reality is okay for us, right. Which, you know, I become increasingly grateful for it and also feeling a little, you know, survivor's guilt.
Yes, yes. Thank God, finally. I've got someone else to share that with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine there's quite a few of us.
I appreciate that because I've definitely been struggling with that too on a semi-regular basis.
Well, it's hard to square what's going on for so many people with, you know, my comfort, my own security.
Right.
Which isn't to say we're not taking precautions when we go to the grocery store. I mean, of course, anything could happen, but you know, we are not on the front lines. We are not healthcare workers. We are not delivery people. So I would say, you know, aside from that, the biggest stressor, I guess, is just the uncertainty. This feels so unprecedented in terms of how crises tend to roll out. You know, there's disasters. There are attacks, there are wars, and then this has no seeming, I mean, there is an end, but it's not in sight.
No.
You know, we don't know. It's just weird. I'm not going to say anything that hasn't already been said, and certainly not as articulate as...
No, you're pretty articulate. You do a fine job at it. That's a big reason why I wanted to come back and talk to you specifically during this time. Just things that I've seen you post, stuff that I've seen you share. So I figured that you would have a pretty good idea as to truly what the climate is like there right now, even though you're not physically there. I know that you're in touch with a lot of people and keeping an eye on and an ear on how everybody's doing and what's going on. And how's it going?
Well, I think I said the first stressor was the uncertainty, and I think the second stressor is the awareness of how profoundly this is affecting the theater community. We are an industry built on live performance and community and gatherings. All of those things are such no-nos. For the foreseeable future. So it's quite heartbreaking to witness theaters, in particular not-for-profit theaters, come to terms with, you know, the fact that they have no immediate way forward for them. So, and relying on the support of donors and ticket holders, you know, it's just incredibly scary for a lot of these theaters with full-time staffs that they are now having to furlough, or even worse, fire. I mean, it's heartbreaking. It's just painful to know that everyone is either hurting in an acute way or is sitting at home, like, not knowing whether the Broadway show that they were in 3 seconds before the world shut down, like, will come back for them, will be there for them. It's just this uneasiness. And, but I don't want to leave this out, the sort of intrepid spirit of the community once again has revealed itself. So, you know, people have stepped up in really incredible ways, raising money for Broadway Cares, the Actors Fund. Mm-hmm. The generosity, again, like, humbles me as everyone's scared and worried. Sure. And all of this stuff, and they're still finding ways to raise money for people who have an even worse situation.
I did, yeah. Well, I saw that you and Andrew, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had a link set up to help for people to be able to donate to the Actors Fund when you guys did you do a podcast or a video?
Yeah.
Something, and then you reran submissions only.
Mm-hmm. So we last weekend, the Stage Network, watchstage.com, started this free streaming service where they're going to pick one of their different content for every weekend. And they kicked off this offering with a free weekend of submissions only. I might have been on a YouTube video that we made that we attached the link. I can't remember, because it was this odd little whirlwind of activity in the midst of a quarantine of just, you know, back on the promotion horse. I've been like flirting with the idea of doing some new submissions only content that could serve as a fundraiser, but, you know, because submissions only is a comedy and I would want it to be funny and light, but at the same time not completely tone deaf. So, well, what does that look like? And if it's funny today, will it be horribly offensive in 2 days? You know, like, I don't want to, that's a risk I'm not willing to take.
And the website is theactorsfund.org? Is that what it is?
That sounds about right. As you know, I mean, the actor's life, like a lot of people all the time are on unemployment as they wait for the next gig. So, you know, again, it's never fun to be on unemployment, but at least in this situation, I think a lot of people are already in the system, and it's a whole community of people that are well acquainted with that website, those protocols.
Because I've certainly been concerned about, I mean, just with the challenges that come along with living in New York City by itself, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I've got to pay my rent and landlords and because New York's not the cheapest city.
Oh, no. No, it's not.
I've heard that it's not the cheapest city to live in. And it just makes me wonder how a lot of the people are surviving, truly surviving.
Yeah. I have that same curiosity. I do think we'll see that.
How is Jeff doing with all of this? Now, how is this affecting him? Because your husband's a lighting designer. A Tony Award winning lighting designer, I will remind everybody of. How's he doing with everything?
He's doing fine. I mean, it's such a loaded question. You know, obviously everything that he had lined up for the spring is canceled. And now everything that was slated for the fall is in flux. You know, designers are by nature busier than almost everybody else because their time on a show is shorter than, you know, an actor's or a director. So they're very nomadic. They move from show to show, and their schedule is this like very well choreographed dance. It's not awesome, but again, we're not in a desperate situation yet. Cool.
You're the first one that I've had a chance to talk to who's actually been very proactive into trying to find ways to support the people just in our community primarily. I mean, just talking about the whole survivor's guilt thing, we have those members of our community who are truly like suffering and in limbo right now and not knowing how the hell things are going to go. I've really been wrestling with like our contribution to the world. Mm-hmm. On one level, it's immeasurable because people need the distraction. They need the diversion. They need to be entertained. They're going to be starving for it. But at the same time, I'm thinking about the people like we're talking about on the front lines who are truly making major contributions, truly risking their lives and putting their health at risk in order for us to get to the other side of it. And that's when it's like, you jackass, you couldn't get a real fucking job.
But you know what? That makes me think maybe it's just an over-justification, but or a rationalization, I should mm-hmm. say. But think of it this way. Just think of like the span of time and how right now our time demands these specific kinds of services. And then think about what kinds of services can be provided when the worst is over. You know, for now, we're all going to do what we can to raise money and help people in times of need. But like when it's time for our skill set be relevant again or be necessary again, there will be opportunities to do free performances for healthcare workers and to you know, like there will be opportunities to give back. You know, maybe I'm just fooling myself, but I do think that there will be an intense need for entertainment. Like I have not watched The Handmaid's Tale yet, and I'm thinking, yeah, probably is not the time to like binge a dystopian future show. So I'm steering clear of anything that like predicts some sort of altered society. You know, like I'm like we're already living that.
Yeah, we haven't watched Game of Thrones yet, and I want to get to it. But at the same time, we try to sit down, and it's like, a lot of people are going to get killed in this show. It's going to be a lot of murder.
But they're not real people. I mean, there's such a fantastical element to it. But I think, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yes, it's very violent, but it's like everyone's wearing fur, and it's ridiculous. I don't know.
So were you in the city at all when this first started happening, or had you been up there already?
We were there when Broadway shut down. Jeff was scheduled to have his first preview of an off-Broadway musical the day they shut everything down. So he made it till about 5 o'clock, and then they said, everybody go home. It was interesting only because the news that a Broadway usher had tested positive for COVID had come out I want to say that morning.
I think it's wonderful, first of all, that you are expending as much energy as you are. I don't know if it feels like it or not, but I do appreciate everything that you're trying to do or at least promote or make people aware of. These are still people who are having to make their way through this situation as best they can, like so many others, to know that there are people out there like you who are trying to find ways to help support them and...
I mean, I feel like I'm not doing anything at all, so that's kind. I think I spend more time thinking about what I could do than actually doing anything, but I guess that's probably common for a lot of people as well. I just hope it's a recalibration of values. That's what I hope. But I hope we come out of it with a sense of what's really important to us and then align our behavior more closely to those things. That's what I hope.
Well, look, stay safe, enjoy the weekend, and I really appreciate you taking the time and coming back and revisiting with us. This has been Kate Weatherhead on You May Have Seen. Thanks so much for listening.
I want to thank Pat Dortch, Kevin Johnson, and Kate Weatherhead for joining me for You May Have Seen, Reaching Out and Revisiting. And I want to thank you folks for listening. Stay safe. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode.